Chapter 12. Grace. Grace's father was a sailor from Ethiopia called Welde. He met her mother, Daisy, one afternoon in 1895 when his ship sailed into South Shields Harbour and left a few days later after having had sex with Daisy, who had just turned 16. "One day we'll take a boat to Ethiopia and find him, Gracie," Ma would tell her. "One day." Daisy's parents were not happy when they discovered Grace was half black. Her father told her to give Grace to the church to take care of, or to get out of his home. "I could never leave you, Gracie," said Ma, who moved out of her parents' house and never spoke to them again. Daisy found work making flowers for a hat factory, where she met Mary, who allowed her and Grace to move into a room in her home. Daisy promised Grace lots of things. "I'm going to take you to the countryside," Daisy told her, "so you can run on the grass and have fun. I'm going to find a husband who will take care of us and we'll live in a nice cottage by the river." Daisy did not keep her promises to Grace. Working in the factory made her body weak, and when Daisy died, Mary, who had not planned on having an extra child, took Grace to the Northern Association's home for girls in the countryside. "Bye-bye, Gracie," Mary said as she delivered Grace to the front door. "They'll look after you here and teach you everything you need to know." The other girls in the home were very interested in Grace. They could not stop staring at her and asked her why her skin was so brown. "My pa's from Ethiopia," Grace said proudly, pretending she had known him. It took Grace a long time to stop hoping that her mother would knock on the door and come to take her home. At night, she began to dream of her father. He would visit her in her dreams and take her back to live in Ethiopia with him. But nobody came for Grace. Soon, she settled into life in the home. Grace was taught how to cook and clean, and how to bake bread, and how to sew buttons onto her dresses. She went to school and was taught how to read and write, as well as how to walk and talk elegantly, like a lady. Grace enjoyed much of it, and was good at a lot of it, too. It made her feel special when her teachers complimented her for things like how well she walked across a room. The best girls from the home would always get offered work as a shop assistant in the Gillingham & Sons store in Berwick, where they wore smart clothes and talked politely to the customers. Yet, despite how good she was, Grace was told by the head teacher that she would never be offered the same chances as the other girls. When she was 13, Grace was offered work as a servant for the new Baron Hindmarsh, who had returned to Berwick after many years of living in India. There, he had many Indian servants, an Indian wife, and two Indian sons, so he did not have a problem with hiring a half-black servant. Grace was shopping in Gillingham & Sons for material to sew herself a dress. She did not want to give this particular store any of her money, but it was the only one in town that had what she needed. She had written to the manager of the store a few years ago to request an interview for a job as one of the shop assistants. However, as soon as the manager saw her, he turned her away, telling her that his customers would not like to come into the store if she was working there. For many weeks afterwards, Grace dreamed of burning the store down to the ground. Grace paid for her material and left the store. She was excited to go home so she could start sewing the dress she would wear to the Hindmarsh's Christmas party. It was the only time of the year where the Hindmarsh's servants were allowed to take off their uniforms and wear nice clothes. Grace looked forward to it every year. Grace was about to cross the road and begin walking home when she noticed a man approaching her. "You must be the Lady of the Nile." Grace turned to face him and glared up at him. She could not believe he could be so rude to call her a lady of the night. "Queen Cleopatra," said the man, as if he could read her mind. "The Lady of the Nile." "Oh." Grace stopped herself from shouting and took a good look at him. He had a kind face, bright blue eyes, and a nice smile. He introduced himself as Joseph Rydendale and offered to help her cross the road. Grace suspected that Joseph was trying to impress her, and she let herself be impressed. They talked for a while as they walked, and, after a while, Joseph asked her to walk with him next Sunday, too, and the Sunday after that, and every Sunday after that, too. Grace learned that Joseph had returned from the Great War to the family farm, only to find both it and his father not doing well. Joseph had spent years getting the farm right again, and was now ready to get married and have children who would continue to take care of the farm. In the Great War, he had fought in Egypt and had become attracted to the beautiful Egyptian women he saw every day. When he came back to Britain, he did not think any of the local English girls were pretty, until he saw Grace. She could not believe how lucky she was when he asked her to marry him. They married 3 months after his father died, and he then moved her into the Greenfields farm. When he brought her there, they rode a horse-pulled carriage through the busy village, giving the villagers their first chance to look at Grace. Most of them had never seen a black person before. They could not believe that Joseph Rydendale, their local farmer and ex-soldier, who they were all so proud of, had married a black woman. But when they heard Grace speak, they were surprised to hear that she sounded just like them, and they decided that they did not have to be cruel to her. Joseph wanted at least 10 strong sons to work on the farm, and he planned for the oldest one to inherit it once he died. Grace was happy to settle for 5 children, not sure if she wanted to spend 10 years of her life pregnant. She would be happy with 3 boys for Joseph and 2 girls for her. In the end, Grace was right. They did have 5 children, but only 1 survived. The first 2 did not get very far at all, and came out of Grace too early to live. The next was a boy who died shortly after his birth. Then came Lily. Lily was a healthy and happy little girl. When she was 9 months old, Grace began to remember her own ma again. She remembered how it felt to be loved deeply and completely by someone, and how she had been the most important person in her ma's life. When Lily was 1 year, 2 months, and 4 days old, she died suddenly. Joseph did not give Grace any time to grieve after Lily died. He would not stop trying to have another baby. "This farm has been in my family for nearly 120 years, he told Grace. "We need to have another child so they can inherit it." It was only then that Grace realized just how attached Joseph was to the farm, perhaps even more than to her. Joseph did not understand that Grace was afraid that her body was only able to give birth to death. She did as he asked, and they had 1 more child. It took 3 days to give birth to her. Joseph called the baby Harriet when Grace refused to give her a name. "This one will survive, Gracie," Joseph said to her. "I can feel it. She's a fighter." Grace did not care. She did not want to get close to another child again, especially not one who had already caused her so much pain. Grace refused to feed the child, so Joseph refused to talk to her. He hired a woman named Flossie to come and help take care of Harriet, once it became clear that Grace did not want to even look at her. Grace spent months barely able to speak or get out of her bed. She did not wash or brush her teeth and felt sick whenever she thought about the child. She was always in pain. At night, she would dream about cutting her wrists to finally stop the pain. Once, Joseph caught her in the kitchen, examining their knives, trying to decide which one would be the sharpest. "Don't you do this," said Joseph, and he took the knives from her. "You can't walk away from your daughter like this." Grace did not think of the child as her daughter. Grace was sure that she was an evil creature sent from hell to punish her. When Harriet was nearly 3 years old, Grace woke up for the first time since the child was born and did not feel in pain. She got out of bed and walked into the kitchen. Harriet and Flossie were in there already, eating breakfast together. They looked at Grace in shock when she entered the room. Grace did not blame them. She had become very good at avoiding the child. Grace made herself a cup of tea and then sat down next to Harriet. She looked at her daughter as if it were the first time she had ever seen her. Harriet was a cute and healthy-looking child with fat little cheeks and gold and green eyes. "I'd like to bake Harriet a cake for her birthday," Grace told Flossie suddenly. "And please call her Hattie from now on, not Harriet. I've decided that Hattie suits her better." Flossie nodded and was kind enough to only look a little bit confused. "Hattie," Grace said, "come and sit with your ma, love." Hattie did not move. She looked up at Flossie for help, which hurt Grace's feelings, but this was to be expected. "Go on," said Flossie. "Go and sit with your mother. It's about time." "Everything changed, Ma, once me and Hattie found each other. It was like I had come out of the darkness and into the light and could finally love her as I should. I wish you could have seen me take care of her, Ma. I wish you could have seen how Joseph and Hattie loved each other. I wish you could have watched Hattie grow up to be strong, tough, and tall. I wish you were around to be her grandmother. I wish you had not died so young, Ma. I wish you could have seen how Joseph loved me again. I wish you had met Joseph, Ma. He stood by my side for the rest of my life and was the best father for our little girl. I wish you could have met Slim, the American man who married Hattie. I wish you could have met Sonny and Ada May, your great-grandchildren. I only knew them for a little while, but Joseph was so happy that finally there was a boy who would one day inherit the farm.